Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkia's Wrap-Up. Hello, folks. Welcome to my first podcast recording of 2023. Yes, this version of the podcast is still very new, but we're already in our second year. No, I'm lying. It's just I started close to the turning of the year. But yeah, we're back. It's my first recording. I have, as always, some wonderful guests with me. So we're going to crack straight into it and see if we can find something possibly to talk about. But please welcome Jim and Zach from Fantasy for the Ages.
Hey, everybody. Woohoo! Yeah, Happy New Year. Although I know you don't really celebrate that much, but it's still a new year.
It is.
I mean, anybody can celebrate the fact that we're further along in the calendar. We're all forgetting to put the right date down. I know I do it wrong every day.
I mean, you do it wrong every day anyway. You put them backwards, but, you know, that's...
You're not wrong.
Oh, okay. I see that. The bias of this podcast. I gotcha.
It just gets confusing when it doesn't include a number larger than a number of months. And then I can get caught out very easily. Especially when you want, like, the 8th of July. And then somehow I think, wait, the 7th of August? Why are we a month apart? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough.
Oops.
Yeah.
It happens. But welcome, guys. It's been a while. We were saying just before we actually got going, it's been a while since we've just caught up in general. So
It has.
I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun. But for anyone who is listening who has not stumbled across your glorious podcast and YouTube channel, please, I don't know whose turn it is or you know how you do it, but please tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you do.
Well, we are Fantasy for the Ages. I'm Jim. I'm the dad. And that's Zach. He's the son.
Hi, I'm Zach. I'm a son.
There you go. And we do a podcast and YouTube channel that's all about fantasy and science fiction content. A primary theme that we do is working our way through the Wheel of Time. That's like our favorite series. So chapter by chapter, working through. We are now, how far, Zach? How far are we through that?
Oh, goodness. We're in Fires of Heaven right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, dude, that was a softball question. Come on, man.
It's not my fault. We only talked about it like yesterday.
Just yesterday, yeah. So we are a fifth of the way through the Fires of Heaven. We're making good time on that now, having a great time with that. And then the other half of our content is whatever other nerdy stuff we want to talk about. So we've covered all sorts of odds and ends, books, movies, anything in SFF, even a little horror, zombie apocalypse stuff, whatever. And we've been doing this a little over 2 years now. So, nice. Yeah.
That's brilliant. And, okay, Wheel of Time aside,
okay,
what's been your favorite book series, movie? You know, what's the favorite thing you've dived into together?
See, that's interesting and hard to answer a bit because our favorite stuff we've maybe done separately. Although, okay, because we have some content that's just me, and we have one content that's just Zach. I'm waiting for him to do more, but there's one. My favorite, that is so hard. I'm going to waffle and tell you two. The Dresden Files. I've done an episode of Deep Dive on every one of those books, and it's brilliant, and I love it. But I'm also really big into The Expanse. And I've covered that a bit. I even have another live stream coming up soon with Leia and Jake, friends of yours, as we're talking about The Expanse. So those are my two biggest. Zach, what about you? Because he hasn't done all of that stuff yet.
Yeah, no, it's part of an interesting thing because the favorite thing, sci-fi fantasy stuff general right now, I've been on a Sanderson kick. I've really been enjoying, which works out for today in a different way.
It does.
But we haven't gone too deep into some of that, like in our podcast, because I was still making my way through Stormlight Archive stuff. We're still there. I'm kind of hoping to save that one for a little bit. But I personally love when we get to just do some weird things. We talked about, like, an early one was some of the best, worst, however you want to say it, villains of all time in sci-fi fantasy.
Nice.
And all the weird pulls that we got from that and mm-hmm. eventually led to now us doing this Pern book club for Dragon Riders of Pern, going all the way back to Thread. And it's just a fun little way to make a very diverse reading catalog for still a genre that I love.
Yep.
I love that. That's great. I'm also working through the Stormlight Archive. But I have said this, and I like Brandon. He's a great writer. His stuff is awesome. Sometimes I pick up most of his books, the vast majority of books I pick up, and I just devour them. Dude, Stormlight. I'm going to give it to book five. I normally give things three. I'm giving it to book five. If I get to the end of book five and I'm not jazzed, and I mean jazzed, I'm going to be like, somebody take these books. It's pointless me having them. Like,
I understand. I have a story for you on that.
Bring it.
I first picked up The Way of Kings right when it came out, and I started reading it, and I got bored. Mm-hmm. I was maybe
right,
maybe a fifth of the way in, and I just quit reading it. I moved on to other stuff. This is just not grabbing me, and I didn't do anything. Now, I never fail to finish something. I hate to DNF something. I'm a completionist. So when Words of Radiance came out, I bought it because I knew I had the first book. I forgot I hadn't finished it. Okay, but I'm busy with other things. So Words of Radiance just sits there for months, for a long time. And then Oathbringer comes along. And I'm like, oh, I can pre-order? I'm going to pre-order this. And I did. I pre-ordered Oathbringer. And then when it came out, I start reading it because I've got the first two books. So yes, the third now. This is great. And I'm lost. I have no bloody clue what's going on. So I go back. I better reread the second book. And I start reading the Words of Radiance, and I'm like, I don't remember this. What? So then I went back to the first book, and I'm like, oh, that's right. I never read this book. So I plowed all the way through all three of those books then at once, and by that time, Rhythm of War was just about out. And so I got to kind of go through all four, boom, 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 which was cool.
I will say, I don't feel either of your pain. I did not have that problem. Granted,
a lot of people don't. I know this.
He loved it. Yeah, he's just sucked it up.
For me, a lot of what I think it was, and it's something that I've started recommending when I recommend these books, in a weird way, because I don't like doing something like this to people. It makes it more intimidating. But I'm recommending, go read other Cosmere first. Get a feel for Brandon. Get invested in the overall stuff.
Yeah. I saw that, and Zach. I see what you did there. Did you do it by accident?
Probably.
Get this blank look. You get invested in Brandon.
Really? That was very good. I didn't think that at all. That was accidental.
That is good.
Wow.
But no, it just helped. I tried to wait until a fifth book came out. I was not waiting until next year to start these books. And once I got through the first book, which I enjoyed, I went through it very quickly, and then started picking up all the little nuggets and references and things, and I love it.
Fair. No, I mean, I love his other stuff. Like, Warbreak is my favorite. I've devoured.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've devoured Mistborn a few times. I haven't got round to Era 2. I haven't got the third book for that yet. I've got the first two books.
Era 2 is better than Era 1, my friend.
I hear this a lot, and I definitely enjoy the first two books. I love the full spoilers, everyone, if you haven't realized my podcast has spoilers. I should probably build in a spoiler warning into it, but never mind. I love the combination of the powers and how it's just worked out for mm-hmm. Era 2. I think it's great. And his writing is obviously, because Mistborn was some of his very early stuff, his writing is obviously, you know, like anything in life, the more you do it, the better you get at it, even if you're great mm-hmm. to start with. But yeah, it's just, I got through the first Stormlight book thanks to Michael and Kate, because I made them talk. I made them say it to me.
It's a great audiobook.
It is a great audiobook.
I have not done the audiobooks for them. I've only read them physically.
Yeah. I'm now at the stage where I'm listening to a book I haven't read, and that's the problem. I can't listen to a book I haven't read. I listened to Henry Kramer's, one of his books, and I got about 30 minutes in, while I was amazed how much he sounds like a very young Michael Kramer, I was also like, I can't follow the story because I don't know the story. Like, I can't have a story talk to me.
I have a really dumb reason as to why I did Way of Kings as an audiobook, because I went and bought it as a physical book. I was planning to read it as a physical book, but the only copy I could find was one of those tiny, like, shrunk down airport novel kind of books in the sense of, like, how big around it is. But it's super thick then. It's like thicker than it is wide. And I was just like, I don't want to hold this while I read it. So I did the first one by audiobook, even though I bought the book.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I will get back to it. I'm going to finish. I'm doing a reread of Starsight. This has totally turned into a Sanderson discussion, isn't it? But we're doing it. I literally picked it up today with the intention of reading it on the way to work and didn't. But that's fine because I will read it this week. But I'm doing a reread of Starsight because Cytonic came out. I got given it as a present earlier this year. And I was like, brilliant. Immediately started to read it. And I was like, I really don't remember what happened in Starsight. And I have, unlike you, Jim, I had actually read the book. So I was like, I need to reread this. And I was like, okay. So I put it back down. I was like, I'll get to Starsight in a minute. And that was like 6 months ago. So I was like, no, this year I'm doing much more reading than usual. I'm a terrible reader. I just reread the same shit all the time. So I was like, I'm going to start reading books. So I've read a couple books already. Starsight is on my next reread, so then I can read Cytonic, and then I will get probably onto Wax and Wane, and then
I'm there, like, you go.
Still might be really fair enough. It'll happen. But yeah. All right. So we know a little bit about you now. Zach, I feel like after this you and I need to have a discussion about your dad's, you know, problem where it's like, oh, I must buy that book, even though he doesn't realize he's not read it. That sounds like a small issue.
I mean, he's sitting at a point of having almost 1,000 books on his TBR with the order planned out. So I think he's got other problems.
I'm trying to cope with my difficulties. I see. Planning. A spreadsheet. This can solve it now.
Oh, that's great. Another fun component of Fantasy for the Ages, and this actually inspired a live stream that I did quite some time ago, now it feels like, but also like 5 minutes ago at the same time. But there's a lot of, and I mean this in a very safe and appropriate manner, but there's a lot of drinking involved with Fantasy for the Ages, isn't there?
Yeah. There is. There is indeed.
Responsible drinking, ladies and gents. And I do mean responsible.
We're always not... drink responsibly.
Exactly, yes. But yeah, I don't know who... Jim has a fantastic liquor cabinet. I've seen pictures. It's it's worth a raid, folks. If you want to rob something, rob Jim's liquor cabinet, because it's phenomenal. But yeah, tell us about that part of your podcast.
Well, we do... Zach, how many episodes have we done dry? Like two?
Two, maybe three. I think one of them, at least, it was because we were both hungover or something.
And we just recorded 166. So, yeah, there's been two dry episodes for a reason. But, yeah, we make a point to craft some beverage. Sometimes we're lazy and we go with an old favorite. Sometimes, especially for Wheel of Time episodes, I try to create something fresh that aligns with the chapters we're doing. So, and it's just, you know, something fun. And when you talk a lot, you're thirsty. So, of course, you got to read. Yeah. Zach's doing something even cool with beverages now this year.
So in addition to our specially crafted cocktails for Wheel of Time themed Wattails, I've also started this year doing a fun little adventure through mixology, trying to expand my palate and also just my bar. So each month has its own theme. I'm going to do a different cocktail every week. Our Discord server has a breakdown of some of that, and I post things in there about it, but it's a fun little way to showcase different, ways to enjoy alcohol responsibly in creative ways that sometimes even can tie into sci-fi fantasy.
I love it. And my little boy is growing up. See, so there you go. Aww. He's trying more liquor.
Yes. But it's always fun. I know every time I see you, there's going to be some fun creation of a drink, and it's always that. And the naming, sometimes the names are just phenomenal. you know, and as such, you know, Jim, you came on to a drinking live stream. Not a that sounded bad. A live stream where we talked about food and drink in Wheel of Time.
Which was a lot of fun.
Which was a lot of fun and involved drinking.
Of course. You know?
So, yeah. So that's a little bit about you two. But, you know, let's chat about what everyone else has been up to this week. And before we get into the big obvious news, because, you know, it's the 10th anniversary of the release of A Memory of Light. And some guy out there did some live stream with some author about something that I feel obligated to talk about. But
never heard of him.
No, I know, right? I mean, it's not like we mentioned him about 20 times at the start of the recording. Nah. But is there anything else out there the fan has been up to that you've noticed? And we're like, let's talk about that quick, because there's a big thing we can bite into.
Well, Rob, was it just this past week that you met somebody related to the TV show? Shit. I might have seen something on Twitter about that. I was like, holy crap, look at this.
I can't believe it. That was honestly not a lead-in. I was like, wait a minute.
But I want to know more.
Okay.
Your listeners want to know more.
That's a good point. Because Grace went home the other day, and then I've worked both days since she's been gone. I then just like what we did while she was here just kind of like became, you know, I was like, I can't think of it too much. She's just gone. And I'm sad. But yes. On Wednesday night last week, or earlier this week, sorry. In terms of recording last week, if you're listening when it comes out, we went down to London, met many other fans and friends. So there was Elliot, there was Sulin, there was Cammy, as Rational Nerd, their twin came, there was obviously myself and Grace, and then Law's Library Bryant, he turned up. Carolina from Carolina on the Couch was going to be there, but unfortunately she was just flying home the previous day from visiting family in America. And while she was in the air, her sister was just like, I've got COVID. And Carolina's like, I should probably just stay home and be safe. So, you know, she stayed home and sadly missed, but she's going to go another time, I'm sure. But yeah, we went to a show in Shepherd's Bush, which is called Paradise Now. It's a 6-woman show. And it's hilarious. Honestly, let's just talk about that first off. I was in hysterics for so much of the show. And Sulin had seen it once for work purposes and came back with us to watch it again. And she's just looking at me because we happen to be sat next to each other. And she's like, you'll love it. This. I'm like, it's brilliant. It's hilarious. If you've watched Sex Education on Netflix, the teacher, without giving too much away, who's into dirty talk, we'll leave it there. That's a real fun way to talk about her character.
Yes, okay. It is.
Yeah, but she's a great character anyway, and a great teacher. She's in it. I fucking love Avienda. I can't wait to see what Ayolo is doing with her in season 2. But she stole the fucking show. She was the best one on stage. It's absolutely brilliant.
Nice.
And it was a great play. But it does, as you've just heard, star Ayolo Smart, who is playing Avienda, and that was why we were going. So we went, had a great time, and then we hang out in the lobby afterwards. And we were just hoping against hope that perhaps she would walk through or we could be like, hi, we're Wheel of Time fans, you know. And I went to the bar to get a drink, and they're also in one corner. And I just looked towards the end of the bar, and there she was stood with the main person she actually interacted with during the show. The character who plays her girlfriend. And I was just like, because I was in the middle of like paying, I'm like, I can't just run down the bar and leave this drink. I mean, I suppose I absolutely could have, but I wasn't going to do that because I was in the middle of the process and like run to, because that looks weird, to run to Ayola Smart. And I was just like, Javi Anderson, go, go, go. You can't see me on the recording, but Jim and Zach and I'm like pointing to the end of the bar. And I was like, go, 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 go. And Bain and Sheehan, where Grace went down and was just like, hi. And then I wandered over as well, and we were all there. She was thrilled to meet us, absolutely thrilled. She hadn't met any Wheel of Time fans. But
really?
Yes. In turn, no one had done that. No one came to a show. No
That's going to change.
Now, forever, y'all get to say that you were the first.
Yes, exactly. I also get to say that I spotted Avienda in the lobby before the two Aiel that I was with.
That's impressive for a Wetlander.
I know, right? she was so happy to meet us. She signed. We a lot of us brought copies of the play. It's a small little book. 1 second, let me lean over and grab it because it's here. So Jen and Zach can see it. So There it is. And she signed, there's a character page with all the character, I mean, the entire production team's in there. Mm-hmm. But she signed just above the character name. And
awesome.
She signed her name and then said, thanks for coming. And a couple of kids did that for everybody. And Sulan actually brought her copy of Eye of the World. And she signed that, the personalized one. Nice to meet you or something of that nature. So that was really, really cool. She's thrilled. We had pictures taken. And
the one picture that I saw posted, I don't know which of you posted it on social media. I have to admit, the look on her face is at that point going, I hope I'm still safe. Got these uber fans and she was being great. But you just look at her eyes, you go, she's not 100% sure right now.
I know what you're saying, and someone actually mentioned that, and I was just like, I was on such a high about it that I was just like, I didn't attack the person, but I was just like, she said this, and she said it was wonderful, and it was so nice to meet us, and she made efforts as she left afterwards with her friend, because they went and talked to, like, her co-star's friends had turned up as well, so they went and talked to them afterwards. She made efforts to come and say goodbye, or not, you know, she was like leaving, walking near us to go out the door, and we're just like, oh, bye everybody, you know, she said that without us saying anything to her, type thing. So I was like, they did, yeah, she did this, she was clearly having a good time. They were like, I was just making a joke. But she was a little bit stunned. She said, like, it was just something I don't think she'd expected or experienced yet. I mean, everyone in season one has probably had that to some degree, but
so would you say she's not really connected with the fandom at all yet? This has not been something that's part of her experience?
I think she's aware of it. I think it'd be tough for her not to be aware of it, especially because of, you know, all the actors from season one who are in season two have experienced a multitude of it, I'm sure, and you know, characters that her character will interact with, you know, I imagine Rand and a few others like that, they will have, you know, Yoshi would have said, like, hey, you know, there's this, you know, this show on YouTube, there's, you know, podcast, there's the whole thing on Twitter, blah blah blah, you know. And when she was announced, you know, 5,000 people followed her on Instagram, so that probably, you know, gave her a little bit of a nudge of what's
just
happening.
A little hint.
Yeah,
possibly.
But she actually told us that she is, she didn't specifically say she's a fan of Wheel of Time, but both of her sisters read the books growing up. So at the very least, she's always been aware of Wheel of Time.
It's always been around her.
It's always been around her if she's not read it. And if she, you know, there's a possible chance that she's read it, where we asked, like, what did your sisters think when you got the role? And she's like, one of them was, you know, really thrilled about it, really happy. The other one was just like, you? As Avienda? Yeah, the other one was a bit like, really? Okay, you know, a bit dubious, I suppose, was the kind of the impression we got from that.
That's great.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I only reached out to Sulan afterwards to thank us. She, you know, shared us my story on Instagram, and I don't think she's on Twitter, but if she is, then she's hiding. But yeah, like, I sent her a thank you, and she wrote back and was really thrilled that she, you know, got to meet us and stuff. And yeah, we're all very much like, is it hot in here? Is it just us? Like, where's this blush come from? Like, oh my God, we just met Avienda. Yeah.
Exciting though. Yeah.
Very exciting. And then, you know, we shared it on Twitter. I posted the group photo, and then Grace posted the photo, because we told Ola that, you know, Grace is Maiden Chied and Becky is Sulan. And she was like, oh, with absolute genuine recognition. So at the very least, she knows these characters, which, you know, that you speculate what you like of.
Does that confirm for us that they're not written out, or?
I don't know. There's a lot of speculation to be had about that. There'll be discussions. Yeah, there we go. Benny Chied's in chat. She's like, I was literally fanning myself with my copy of the play. Yeah, there was definitely that going on. But yeah, we'll dive heavily into that on the Threefold Talk next week. I am absolutely certain. Sulan's going to join us, even though it'll be 2 a.m. for her, much like it is for me. Yeah, that means many things. Speculate what you want of it. I'm going to think all good things from it. But yeah, she was wonderful. And it was just a perfect way to finish off having Grace here to visit. So
yeah,
I hope more people go and see her in the play, because the play is great. It was hilarious. And there's a scene. I don't know whether. Okay, I'm going to put a warning in the description, folks. So don't listen from now, and I'll give you a timestamp to then listen from. Jim, Zach, do you want to hear?
I'm down. I'm always down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there's a scene where she is talking about taking another character down, not one on the stage, but like a character they're interacting with as part of the story. And she goes full warrior badass on this woman. She's like, I will lay waste to your family. You know, they will not even be able to find out where I've buried your bones. And she's up there, and she's a very physical performer. And it was just, I was just like, that was Avienda on stage right then. That was no one else. Like, it was full maiden. Grace, you'll be able to give me the exact word she said. No, wait, it's in the play. I have the script in front of me. I'm going to have to try and find it now. Or maybe Grace can find it for me. Grace, get your book out and find it for me. So it's,
she's typing, so she's looking. Typing.
There we go. but yeah, it's just absolutely insane, this clip. So yeah, I'll read it to you when we find it. And then it's mad. So I know, Jim, Zach, it's probably unlikely you could hoof over to London for a quick visit.
Was not I really in the plan flights? Right now?
Maybe. Was I going to buy flights? Probably not.
It just needs to go on tour at some point. There we go. Or we'll just, Aola, I know you listen, clearly. You're a fan.
Of course.
So, yeah, just record us a soundbite and put it on Instagram. People will die. So, that's what I saw in The Phantom this week, thanks to your prompting, Jim. Was there anything
absolutely.
else?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I saw in The Phantom this week. You know, I was like, look at that! Look what happened! That's awesome!
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Other things in The Phantom, though, this week? We still don't know anything about when season 2 is going to drop. I mean, we kind of have a ballpark idea, but I want a freaking date.
357 days or something.
Yeah, it's killing me.
You
Come
mean
on.
It's not coming out next month? Come on.
Next Come month. On. That's what it's always, next month. I have something I don't know if any of you saw. There we go.
There,
Grace has found
it
for
there.
Me. Okay. So a character's name is Carla. I'm terrible from remembering the character's names. But it goes, we are going to dominate them, obliterate them, annihilate them. They'll be gone. They'll be done out of here. And then shouting out, because they're bowling, shouting over to the next lane. Wave goodbye to your loved ones. We're going to lift you right off the face of the fucking earth. Your families won't know where your bones are buried.
Yeah, we're not messing around.
Like, that is... if I ever get to interview her, that is the absolute, like, can you do that scene? Like that, those lines, like, I've got the book here if you need a prompt, like, just say that live for me now. Like, yeah. So that's amazing. But did either of you, so Rafe has been on some kind of vacay. I thought it was his honeymoon with Taylor, and it might still be his honeymoon with Taylor, but they took their moms, which was just fucking cute, to some Pacific island. But did you see the Instagram post where he was just writing some notes on his laptop with all the beauty in the background? Did you see what he put in the comments?
I did not.
What did you do?
Okay, so let me just switch channels in the Discord server right now, because I put it in one of the season 2 speculation. Here we go. So Instagram post here, and someone commented, damn, how do you write with that as your office? Because he's literally on this deck in the shade, and there's a golden beach and blue sun, you know, and there's blue sky and an ocean in front of him. And he said, makes it easier, honestly. I love writing in places like this, especially when I'm doing some scribbling about the sea folk.
Oh, little leak there. Nice.
Yeah. Now, to be clear, this doesn't mean sea folk are in Wheel of Time season 2.
It doesn't mean it.
It also doesn't confirm that they're in period necessarily. He may just be being intentionally obtuse and being like, yeah, it's an ocean, so I'm going to talk about the sea folk.
Yeah,
and
I'm just going to make
everyone go mad.
Yeah.
Now, but... I did...
go.
I did see something else on Rafe that was out here this past week. There was a meme going around with him out there on the beach or something.
Topless with the sunglasses on.
Yeah. And people posting, you know, what he might be thinking at this moment.
Yes.
And there were some very funny comments. I don't know if y'all caught that.
We have to thank Bailey Chiad for this, because I was literally sat next to her and she took the screenshot. She's like, that is meme worthy right there. And I was like, that really is. So she screenshotted it, trimmed it down, put it into a meme maker, and then posted it out along with a blank copy underneath to be like, come on, folks, let's meme the shit out.
And there they came.
And they started to appear. So that was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Zach, did you see any of them?
I enjoyed seeing some. Like you said, the call was put out. Personally, I think we blew the horn of meme leer.
Meme leer.
I don't know if that rolls off the tongue.
You're
right,
trying, but... Zach. I appreciate it. You're trying.
Horn of the leer, horn of meme.
How about the horn of Mimir? Let's go Mimir.
No, yes. Mimir's too. Mimir? That's going to be too Mimir? Norse for me. Just doesn't work.
The memes of Valyr. Blow the memes.
That's
of
not bad.
That
the memes
works.
Of Valyr.
Yeah. Okay. That now I feel like here's the annual challenge. No, because there's the meme off on the Dusty Wheel, isn't it? So it's like, damn, we need to do that again. But yeah, it was great. I did enjoy that. So it's been pretty quiet other than that, really, hasn't it? So I'm trying to think back, even over it's been Christmas, it's been New Year's, it's been holidays for many, many people.
And you know, and it's entirely possible there were some other miscellaneous things that have completely been blasted out of our mind because of yesterday.
Yeah.
Entirely possible.
That is very possible. Let's talk about that. So, yesterday? Day before, Friday.
It was just yesterday. Well, okay, Ocean. Yeah, you know, maybe it's different. Just yesterday, wasn't it?
It's not Sunday for you, isn't it?
It's Sunday.
Currently it is.
And
so was that Friday?
That was Friday, Jim, yes.
Oh, wait. No. It was yesterday for me because it was Friday late and I didn't watch it until Saturday. So it was yesterday for me.
Oh, no. It was today for me. I didn't watch it until today.
Technically, for me too because it was 1 a.m. So, you know, it's a whole time is messy. Who cares?
Wibbly wobbly. Higgly wiggly. It's fine.
Yes. But you're right. Officially in the U.S. where it was done, it was on Friday.
Mm-hmm. But it was the 10-year anniversary of Memory of Light. And Brandon was ready to dish out the last big secret. He confirmed that Nakomi is just, you know, kind of like a bit of his headcanon and, you know, there's not really much to go on. So he kind of like put that in there and it was approved by Team Jordan. He mentioned that he has no idea what the pipe is. No one does.
Right.
Took that to his grave.
He literally said, ask RJ when you see him in the next life.
Exactly.
Yep. That's the only way.
That's the only way we're all going to find out. Then after that, the innkeeper decided to go full Cheshire Cat grin and introduced us to the discussion that Lanthier.
Again, full spoilers, people. Remember.
Be very clear on the title.
You can't walk back from this.
No, there is no walking back. This is very true. But the full discussion that Lanthier is not actually dead. And she tricks Perrin.
And it's freaking brilliant.
Oh, it is.
To me, half of the spoil here, half of the reveal was that Matt has known for 10 years.
Oh, I know, right? Let's talk about that bit first, because that fucking killed
me. And Taylor, not just Matt, Taylor too, complicit.
Yeah, although I don't think Taylor cared in any way, shape, or form, other than like, Dad.
No, the pancakes were better, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Was.
Apparently, you just have to take people to IHOP if you want them to spill their guts.
Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, seriously? And you?
I have to admit, though, when I heard this, when the reveal came, my first thought was, I gotta tell my wife because she just finished the Wheel of Time, so I told her this then, you know.
Nice.
But my second was, I feel like a freaking idiot because this makes so much sense.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
What happens with Perrin and Lanthier never really made sense. I wrote it off as she's off her game, you know, since coming back as Syndane, she's a little screwed up, she's not where she's at. it makes so much more sense that she, this brilliant schemer and master of Teleron Riat, so much better.
I mean, I'll be honest, I put it in the same kind of category of endings as I did Padan Fain and Mashadar, all that stuff, that I honestly felt a little let down in that I was like,
yeah,
it's anticlimactic, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's because that way we get to be like, yeah, these people, not even worth a really big ending. And now it's like, oh, it's just not the ending.
Yeah,
so good.
It's way better.
It's so good.
I think back to when I first read that Lamb scene in the times I've read it afterwards, I always put it down to Perrin finally found a way to kill a woman that wasn't in the heat of battle, because he could do it in the heat of battle. You know, a maiden of the spear come out to him, you know, he'll fight them, he'll kill them, and he can handle that, but he can't like kill a woman in cold blood, you know, even if it's required.
And I saw it as him being able to do what needed to be done.
Yes.
When Rand never could.
Yeah.
That's the key. He had so many chances to kill Lanfear, Rand did.
Absolutely.
And he couldn't do it. Can't kill a woman.
Yeah.
Perrin's his wingman.
Yeah.
He's got it done. That's how I read it.
Yeah, yeah. Perrin's, he's had this full journey with violence. You know, he doesn't kill people in cold blood, you know, and he's got to the end. He's just like, nah, I got to do this. You know, I always read it. And like you, Zach, it was a little bit like, I like it. It works for me. And you know, being like a parent, being my favorite character, I'm like, it works enough that I'm okay with it. Was it a great scene? No, it wasn't a great scene. It was written well, but it wasn't like Padan Thane bit. It was not an amazing scene. You probably could have done more of it type thing. And I wrote it off in that kind of, you know, merge of those situations. But now, as I wrote actually in the mod chat for the Dusty World, because we were discussing it, not heavily, but, you know, a few things going back and forth. And I was like, as a Perrin fan, like, this makes sense that he would get to the point where, like, I am the master of this. I can, you know, I've said it's just a weave to Egwene, you know, like, come on, whatever, just shrug it off. It makes sense that he would go up a Lanthier and be like, Egwene's better than Lanthier, and I fucking whooped her ass. So, like, yeah, I could be Lanthier. You know, so that he would be that cocky almost, you know. It kind of works.
Take anything from Perrin in your mind? It doesn't feel like it's taking a last victory from him? Or...
No. It makes sense that he could be duped like that. His character works like that. He's like, okay, once I make a decision, I'm done, I'm in, I'm invested, it's happened, I'm here, I commit to it, and I don't second guess myself. I second guess myself for years leading up to it, but once I've done it, and I've made that choice... I stand by it. So it makes sense that he would get to that point, feel that he is at this level, a situation happens that matches that feeling and belief, and he's like, sweet, done, bye, move on, you know? And she sees that coming and dupes him into it. It makes sense.
For me, it didn't reduce Perrin. It elevated Lanfear.
Yeah.
And I love that. Much. You know, she played the long game, because when you see it from this, I totally went, oh, crap, another reread. Okay, because I have to read it with this perspective now. It changes so much of this stuff that she's working this, because this goes back. Mm-hmm. This goes back from the moment she comes back as Sindane. She's trying to figure out, now, how do I work this to my advantage? And it's masterful what she comes up with.
Yeah.
Wow, holy crap.
I have two questions with this. Firstly, maybe the second question doesn't follow on like exactly from this, but Brandon, maybe not when he sat down and wrote the first of his three books, you know, sort of aimed for Lanfear to finish at this scene and this sort of method of thing. But how many clues do you think we're going to find in those three books Brandon wrote? And how much of RJ's writing, this is like the second part, I don't know if this will really be something that works, but how much do you think of Brandon's writing and ending of that scene was influenced by things that RJ wrote, not necessarily taking Lanfear to that point? Because obviously there's, you know, there's no guarantee with how good RJ was able
to
give at the
end. It's a hard thing to me to think of, but I also like, maybe I'm wrong in my understanding of this, but I have to assume that putting Lanfear in that direction was a Sanderson choice, trying to be in Jordan's spirit as best he could, because like all the Perrin stuff there was without direction, basically.
Yeah.
So the more I read of Sanderson's stuff, the more I go, nah, you look into it. Now that we know to look for it, I almost feel like every time she's on the page in his writing, we're going to see something that leads towards it.
Keep in mind, you know, Matt Hatch, okay, shout out Dusty Wheel, whoop, whoop. Okay, he was the one who thought this was too obvious. This has been too clearly overshadowed, you know, and stuff that, so he really, even before he asked the question, he thought Lanphier was alive. He'd seen it in the way Brandon had written stuff.
Yeah.
And then he got the confirmation and he's like, king of the world. You know, but
yeah,
he'd kind of seen it already. So it is there. But whether RJ intended that or not, I am 100% confident. He and Brandon are sitting down. Brandon goes, hey, this is my plan for Lanphier. And RJ would have been, oh, yes, that is exactly what I would have come up with if I thought of it. You know, because it's brilliant. And I think it is very appropriate to the character. I appreciated Brandon describing, you know, when he first approached all this, he was looking at the various characters and what do they want? What's their final endpoint and working it through? And that's how he comes up with this for Lanphier. And it's like, yes, yeah, it's brilliant. It makes
and
so
with
much
it being
sense.
Perrin, because Perrin kind of like, particularly at the end, was getting a bit directionless. Like he sort of his own issues with, you know, his wife being kidnapped and you know, all the shit that sort of followed on with that and shortly afterwards. But once that was done, it was just like, he was just there, like one of those guys that blows up outside of like car dealerships, the one inflated man. He's just like, what do I do now?
You know, well, it was also good that it was Perrin, because Perrin was, hey, Perrin, look, gullible is written on the ceiling. What? I mean, that's Perrin's character. He will fall for this crap. And so
even through that, they had a great point of going, Perrin's the character, the trusty, reliable one. That if he says something and he believes it and it's true, people else are going to believe him that it's true. And that goes across the board. Doesn't matter if we're talking to Aiel, especially after the hammer forging scene and seeing all of that, and go to the Shan Chan. It goes all the way back to that battle and the fork root in the river and all these things. And then his time in and around the world of dreams, and the way that Fael trusts him implicitly to the point where it's like he couldn't be capable of deceit, kind of thing.
Yeah.
He is set up to be the most honest character in the Wheel of Time.
And he's always been set up for that. That's RJ's setup, and that's not Brandon's setup. So it was. So
he was the perfect character for Lanphier to use as her dupe.
It's a genius read of Lanphier to look at all of these people, all these people in the world, all the people that she interacts with, and go, he is the perfect tool for this.
Yeah. Because it's when they were discussing it, and we will get on to, like, we'll talk about Matt and how he was gloating a little bit, shall we say. but like when he was talking to Brandon about it on Friday and saying, like, you know, that Lanphier was in the situation of, well, if the Dark One wins, I'm screwed because I've been playing both sides. But if the Light wins, I'm screwed because I'm a Forsaken. You know,
and they're gonna come after me.
Like I need to get out of jail free card. So like, she not only is trying to win her game, but at the same breath, she's been planning for winning, like finding a way to win even if she doesn't win. You know,
it explains how so clearly she had actively supported moves that would cause the Dark One to fail.
Yeah.
It explains it. You know, it's great.
It is pretty good. So it was, I can see a lot of people losing their minds over Perrin now.
You want to talk about Master Schemer, though. I'll also toss in from that whole thing that Brandon and Matt did there. Brandon Sanderson being the master schemer so that he isn't J.K. Rowling'd. Oh. Where he says, hey, no, look, there's proof. Yeah. 10 years ago, before the book even came out, these people knew.
Yeah,
I didn't retcon this sucker. It's legit. I loved that.
It's an email or something. I was like,
already been on Twitter since then. Oh, he's like J.K. Rowling. It's like, did you listen to the whole episode, dude? Come on. No,
they cherry picked the facts that they cared about. But yeah, I love the fact that he gave J.K. a burn. Kudos. You know,
absolutely.
That should be done at every opportunity. Secondly, but he had the foresight, like you say, he schemed back then to be like, I don't want to be caught out saying I'm just making shit up now.
Like, that's right.
You know,
like, this thing's big enough, and the only person I know who caught it was Matt. So people are not going to believe me when I come out and say this later.
Yep.
I got to have the assurance.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm going to IHOP the dude. Here it is.
IHOP the dude.
That maybe sounds bad.
Hey. I don't think we can say maybe. I think it does.
But apparently it's how you get secrets out of people. So,
apparently.
Yeah, know? Just IHOP them.
IHOP
the dude.
Oh my God, that needs to become a verb people use when they get secrets out of people. How did you get this information? I hopped him.
You know? Honestly, here's the question though. Who's more like, when you IHOP someone, is it you getting secrets out of someone or you giving someone secrets while them thinking that they got it out of you?
Oh. That's a good point. Yeah, like who wins?
Who I hopped who?
Wow, we have to think about that. That's deep, man. That's wow.
Yeah, did Brandon say, yes, I'll go to dinner with you with the intention of getting Matt on board with the secret? Or did he expect that question but didn't care because he'd already done his email backup? And just
who I hopped who? Yeah, that's the question.
And that's the soundbite that I'm going to use to advertise this. Like, get him IHOPs.
The answer is Taylor. He got pancakes.
Oh my God. So Matt had to sign NDAs. Did Taylor have to sign an NDA as like a 13-year-old kid?
That's a great question.
Not. Like, I want to ask.
When his response is Lanfear who? Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe Brandon's like, we're safe with the kid not knowing. It's, you know, understanding. But.
Matt's reaction, though, you know, listening to that episode, when he's like, he gets that information and he's literally looking around the restaurant then. You know, who might have heard that? Oh, no.
You know, if he looked a little more carefully, he would have actually seen about three tables back. Lanfear was sitting right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He was like the Cheshire Cat, though. Like, the way the two of them built up to it, you know, it. Someone had said in the chat, it's Lanfear related, isn't it? They, like, 2 minutes before, 3 minutes beforehand, because they're
it's Matt. I mean, come on.
It's not the pipe. It's not Nakomi. You know, it's not any of the big ones. So someone's just like, and then you can just see Matt's like, just grin, like in his eyes when they're like, right, now let's get into the secret. And his smile just creeped up. And it was like, just a physical sign.
Now, you said creeped up. I enjoyed the story where he added about his song, Freak, that he'll do his cover of Creep at JordanCon, which is awesome. But how he had, you know, a couple times adjusted the verse a little bit, throwing a little Lanfear in there. And when Brandon's there at JordanCon and Taylor running up to him, you shouldn't do that way anymore, you know?
Yeah, Brandon just said, you know, the secret.
I was just laughing at that. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
But then it was pointed out, like, I mean, I don't know if he did stop or didn't. If he said that, I missed what he, if he said he didn't or didn't, did or didn't. But someone pointed out, well, you shouldn't stop after Brandon has said this, because if Brandon says, you know, the secret, and then you change your song that you do every year.
See? Yeah.
Man. So I think he just continued to change it now and again so that people are like, oh, he
just mix it up.
Regular. Yeah, just mix it up. That's what he does.
Yep. So it's no big deal.
He continued to sell himself as the Lanfear fan that he is, so much so that as much as we wanted to believe him and put credence to anything he would say, it's also like, yeah, but if it's Lanfear, you just want it to be true.
Yeah.
So. And as an original Theory Lander guy, you know, he can say whatever he wants and everybody's going to go, ooh, I wonder what this, if this theory is right, you know.
Yeah.
This is it's all good.
Now, you two watched the full stream, but obviously I stopped probably about 40, 45 minutes before the end because it was very late. And thus I had to get up for work early. And so I was like, I've got the big secret. I can go back and watch the rest later and catch up on the smaller tidbits. Did he mention when his love affair with Lanfear started?
He did not.
No,
that did not come up.
Was this like enjoyed Lanfear, but then
I think he just always enjoyed Lanfear.
The secret is what sealed it for him. He's like I've
always.
Yeah.
The secret was icing on the cake.
Right.
That's all. I mean, he was a Lanfear what's the word? Not Stan.
Stan?
Stan, thank Stan. You. He was a Lanfear Stan going way back before Stan didn't mean anything other than Stan Lee in Marvel Comics.
Yes. I mean, that was also my impression, that he was just a, you know, a Lanfear Stan anyway, and it was the icing. But I'm curious if people are going to be out there and be like, oh, you only love Lanfear because you knew the secret that no one else knew. people love to do shit like that, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they do. Get, but I'm like, I feel like we dig far enough, we'll find the receipts of him just singing her praises way back before any of these final books came out.
Did he have the foresight to send an email to someone and be like, in book six, oh my God, I'm in love with Lanfear. Here is your rule of thumb, people. If you become a beta reader for a major book series, when you love a character, email someone and explain it. So you have.
We really need to know, did he IHOP someone after Lord of Chaos?
Oh, this is, yeah. Oh, my God. But yeah, this has been a fun week for just things happening.
I'm like this. I have to say, man, you know, we connected a couple weeks ago to say, hey, yeah, let's get together. Let's do an episode. This would be fun. And then Brandon and Matt wrap this gift up and just hand it to us for our episode.
Oh, yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. Because everyone, you know, regardless of whether you celebrate the holidays that have just happened or not, you know, your work schedules and, you know, travel schedules and all those sorts of things will have been affected in some way. It's usually a quieter time of year for a lot of people. People are seeing family, they're seeing friends, they're traveling, they're, you know, doing things with loved ones in various ways and for various reasons. So, you know, when that happens, people tend to be less social in some ways. And thus, there may be less news happening. So, you know, the first episode of the year is always, you know, in my experience over the last few years of podcasting, has always been like a, hey, we took a break. What have you been up to? How's it going? What, you know, and
right. What's your favorite color? You know, things like that.
So what did you do on the third Wednesday of last week? Because, you know, all the days just merged together, surely. Brandon and Matt decided to gift wrap us this little thing.
Very kind of them. And very kind.
Totally stepped on. Me and the rest of us at AviCon meeting Iota Smart. So yeah, thanks, Matt. No, I'm joking.
No, I still think that's the bigger news. It's fine.
We gave it its proper props in this episode for sure.
We did.
You were the biggest thing in Twitter of time until Friday.
Until
so,
Friday.
You know.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I'm okay with that. That's cool. So thank you for bringing that up, Jim, because when I was like, so what's happened that caught your eye?
I can't believe that was off your radar. I cannot believe it.
because it was something I put out, I just didn't think of it as like, so what did you see? Like, what's, you know, like.
Man, Rob, all I had was that until Friday. I was like, well, what are we going to talk about? I got this one thing and it was fun. And okay, there was Rafe. Maybe that's a little, that's 5 minutes. Yeah. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
You never know what you're going to get when you record a podcast. Unless you're doing, like, the read-throughs give you a guide. Like, you know, chapter by chapter gives you a kind of a, you know, well, we'll vamp in places. We'll have a chat about things and stuff.
Yeah, Zach and I, when we do those, we have too much to talk about. That's our problem. You know,
my biggest problem is that I can't keep to a script, apparently. We just don't get one because we get a loose thing. And then I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to talk about any of this. I want to talk about how it's not this.
Yeah.
In any podcast talking about content, the gold is in the tangents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because as soon as you start reading, you know, what you've like, hey, here's a rough guide of something. You're just like, in that moment, something occurs to you. Oh, my God, let's go talk about this right now. And the schedule just goes, or the guide goes straight out the window. So,
well, I mentioned early on, I'm getting together with Leah and Jake to do another Expanse episode later this week.
Nice.
And the last time we got together, I had a rough outline for us, and we talked for 3 freaking hours because we just went on and on and on. It had a little to do with how much Leia was drinking, and then she'd just go on and on, which is part of the fun. It's great. But we got all done, and then we're like, we should do this again. So I have no idea how long this episode is going to go. It might be the longest ever because we're just going to have fun and you talk and you go wherever it goes. Podcasting's all about.
Well, Jim, The Expanse is on my TBR, not just a general TBR, because I have a TBR. I'm like, I'm sure this is on it. Oh, yeah, someday I'll read, you know, that person or this person. Yeah, I'll get around to it eventually. The Expanse is on my TBR to actually be read this year because I'm going to make an
episode. I love it.
And people are talking about The Expanse. I watched the first episode of season one on Prime.
Yep, on Prime. Yeah,
Prime. It's on one of those.
Prime Video, they want us to say now. Prime Video.
Yeah,
don't use that A word. It's not that A word anymore. Prime Video.
What do you mean the A word? Have I missed something?
The Amazon word?
A word you think of. Don't say Amazon anymore. They want that out. It's just... Zach is sitting there staring at me going... What is he talking about the A word for?
I'm like,
I've followed, but also just like
Prime asshole? Like
now if you Elon ever Musk come and check Fantasy for the Ages, this falls in very well. Cause I don't curse.
Talk about
it's
Prime
not
assholes?
My thing. So yeah, wow. I can blissfully and blindly say the A word and have no idea what I'm saying. Yeah, that's how it works.
That's great. Nicely done. Okay, so it's Prime Video. I've always just called it Prime. Because Amazon Prime to me is the shopping. So
you know, Prime is fine. Prime, I think they'll accept that. Just okay. Don't call it Amazon Prime anymore. That's not what they want with the video.
Okay, fair enough.
They have very, very well paid PR people who are pushing this. So
don't.
Are you one of them? Because you seem to be pushing.
No. I'll give a shout out to Talk Around Riyadh. They're the ones that cued me into it. And then I looked into it. I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that. They're really saying it. All right.
Okay. Maybe they're paid to push it, Zach. Who knows?
They might be.
I mean, that at least Tom. Good money.
Tom would be.
I love it. Well, Jim and Zach, this has been a lot of fun. You know, these are not long, in-depth, deep-dive episodes. Yeah. These are just fun hangouts each week, which I love to do because I love podcasting, and my previous format required a lot of work, and I couldn't do it. So now I just hang out with friends, and we chit-chat about stuff.
It's awesome.
I'm sure there's many more things we could say, but I would love to leave it on this one thing that occurred to me while we had the discussion earlier, and it occurred to me because of something you said, Zach. So here's a question to think on, folks, which is... not a new feature of the podcast. It's just happening this one time because there's no way I can do it ever again. I'm not trying to do it. Like, I usually do. You have a tweet of the week? No, I'm not.
He's setting precedent. No, he's not.
Yeah,
no, he's not.
Things like that.
He's doing it once, and if he does it again, it's still the second time.
It's yeah, exactly. It's just a random occurrence. but you mentioned earlier how the Lanthier scene with Perrin kind of fell into the same category as the ending for. Mr. Pad and Thane, thank you. Mm-hmm. It being just kind of like the writing just, you know, wasn't there exactly. It was kind of like, you know, a low bar of an ending, but these characters kind of just didn't need a big ta-da at the end sort of thing. So obviously there were secrets in the Lanthier scene where we felt maybe it was just a scene that didn't land very well, I suppose. Are there secrets in Pad and Thane's ending scene that we are yet to discover? I mean, Brandon said he's done. This is the last secret. But we know there's always more secrets with Brandon. So I'll leave you with that. Listen, folks, let me know if you think I'm talking out my ass or if there's actually something there.
Oh, there's the A word.
Let him know I'm talking out of A word.
Jim, Zach, this has been hilarious. Thank you so much. Folks, please let me know what you think. I'm sure we've missed many things we could talk about. But until next time, as I like to say around here, may you always find love, water, and shade.
Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap-Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.